Welcome back to the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. We're Rochelle and Carter, and I don't think we thank you enough for continuing, either trying for the first time, thank you for clicking on it.
Oh, yeah.
Or continuing weekly to listen or to watch. We really appreciate that.
Well, and we really appreciate it. If it's your first time, just watch it all the way through and then make judgments.
Well, that's true. If you make it all the way through. Three people just clicked off of it.
Wow. We're glass half full kind of people.
Oh, yeah, we are. This is where we go through what we're going through spiritually, going through in scripture, going through in life, and we're ready to for these great conversations for you to dig in with us.
I'm kind of excited about sharing my piece of this today. So I wrote this down a little bit ago in my remember, if you've been paying attention.
Dun, 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 dun.
It looks like a journal from Indiana Jones.
Well, hold it up for people that do watch.
Oh.
Because you can watch this podcast.
Look at, do you see?
And it really does look like.
And this giant, it's a whip almost, but it wraps around it and then the key goes through the little place.
It does look like you're going to open it up and just recite what you wrote 50,000 times. The penitent man. The penitent man.
Well.
The penitent
what
man.
What I wrote 50,000 years ago. Yeah. Actually, is what the pages like, look like. So lately, it's been a stretcher for me. I've been experiencing just a lot of stuff emotionally. My son's going to be graduating really soon. And I don't think it really hit me that that was going to be a thing. Even though I knew on paper, I knew people were like, how you doing? You doing okay? Like they were prepping me for something that I didn't even realize was going to happen.
You're like, fine, good.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Quit being a weirdo.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it'd be like them asking me the day before or even moments before, and then it finally hit. It happened. Okay. I knew it would. This day's coming.
Yeah.
But going through old photos of Sammy specifically, and then, of course, pictures of Caleb, my other child, popped up there too. And oh, my word, the emotion of that. Did I do enough? Did I do things right? Did I do things wrong? All the questions we normally ask. And we take upon ourselves this burden that God has never asked us to take upon ourselves. Once we've said yes to him, he shoulders the burden with us. And even share kind of a picture of that recently on our show, Carter. It was like my dad, when I was a kid growing up during the summers, for some extra income, would mow lawns. And for the most part, dad's not asking me to do the heavy lifting with that, right?
What was your job?
I would sweep the cuttings
from
the weed whacker and the mower that would come up onto the sidewalk or into the street even, so we wouldn't make a mess on the street. We were very conscientious about that kind of stuff, and so I would sweep that and even get little blisters. I'm not saying it was light work.
Yeah.
For a 7-8-year-old child, it was hard work, but he would always make sure I took rests, that I would have time in the shade, that I had refreshment, lots of Gatorade in my life as a kid growing up. And he would be the one to do the equipment stuff and throw the heavy bags of grass cuttings, which, by the way, when they get wet rained, get real heavy.
That's heavy.
He'll do the heavy lifting. And I think that's a picture of how God wants us to look at this life when he tells us in his word that, come to me if you're weary, you're burdened. I'm going to give you rest and I'm going to shoulder it with you. My yoke is easy and burden light. That yoke is that wooden thing that you'd see across the oxen's shoulders. The ox wasn't meant to carry that alone. If there's a yoke in place and a dueling yoke at that, there's another ox there. They're pulling it together. Mm-hmm. But even then, it's like God's saying, it's going to be easy and light. So yeah, there are going to be struggles. Just like for my 7-year-old hands, those blisters did not feel great. They hurt real bad.
Sure.
And it was out in the sun, sweltering heat work. But he's the heavy lifter. And so why am I dealing with the stressors of life? Why am I taking everything that's ever going to happen to my child is now on my shoulders? Well, no, I either believe that God is in control. And when my son said yes to him, as he did years and years ago, my son's life is God's priority too. Mm-hmm. You know, he prioritized us when he died for us on the cross, because he could have left us to just die in our sin.
Yeah.
But he didn't. And I was reading, and you're like, how does this connect with maybe some of the Old Testament? Well, Rochelle will find out for you, because Carter makes fun of me a little bit because I love me some Old Testament.
You love the Old Testament.
But God asked for this year of, well, you've heard, okay, when we look through the book of Leviticus, we start seeing all the laws laid out, and God is asking for a year of rest for the land after 6 years of harvesting. And he does that because I think he wants us to discover dependence on him. Mm. So we like to be hands-on. We like to, in our own timing and in our own strength, make things happen. And if it doesn't happen when we, if we're allowed to touch it or not allowed to touch it, we get all weird about it. Like it becomes very cluttered as to who's really in charge. I don't like to say that I don't look at God every day and say, God, you're in control. But I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it. I'm actively not doing it. If I'm stressing out in the moment and I'm letting things become overwhelming to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a hard pill to swallow, but thankfully I'm cognizant of it. So maybe that's a step in the right direction. But okay, God asked for a year so that the land could rest. And that year, it's symbolic really of creation because 6 years, 6 days of creation, right? On the seventh year, were to let the land rest, mm-hmm. and the seventh day God rested, and there would be this harvesting time and then nothing, right? What was kind of amazing about this is that if they did obey, and God said, this will happen if you obey, and you can find this passage, Leviticus chapter 25, this particular verse, the 21st verse, it says, I will triple what you can harvest in your sixth year. Mm. Triple. It's not even double because you would only really need double. But if you're actively planting, I guess, for the following year after the seventh year of rest, then maybe you would need double. But, and he's always looking out for other people. He's like, and please, when you harvest, don't be like so meticulous that you grab up everything on the vine, that you're grabbing all the fruit that you planted or all the wheat that you're harvesting, you know, leave some behind. And he said, do this for the needy, for those who need the foreigners among you that might be destitute, mm-hmm. you know, and we're counting on it because unfortunately it's a broken life we live, right? It's a broken world. And this is what I wrote. My hands have to be busy always. You know, I'm picking up one task and preparing mentally for another, but forced rest is a necessity for me, or I would never know or seek or respect the hand of God. Mm. And he's my source and I need to know him as my source. And I'm not going to be doing that if I'm expecting to do everything by my own hand. And there would be no land to harvest if he had not created it. And it all belongs to him anyway. And so if that's true, then would I not also know that my God would supply the need? I love what our morning show producer, Raina, she shared one day, and I've just latched onto those words. I either believe what he says in his word or I don't. So something else that's also helped me with stressors, I tend towards anger very quickly and I become impatient. Why am I impatient in the first place? Because I have to get stuff done. Why do I have to get stuff done? Because I'm doing it in my own strength. And so it all kind of ties back to that part, that prideful thing, like having to be the one. I didn't even realize that was pride at work in my heart because I'm thinking, no, this is a good thing. And it might stem from something good. Sure. I want to care for my family or be actively participating in household duties or, you know, my job. I want to do things, especially our job, Carter. It's a ministry first, I think, you know, with our radio show, we get to share Christian music with people. Mm-hmm. So there's always an excuse or always a reason that would lend to support this idea, even sounds lofty. I need to be in this.
Right. Well, and it's such a tough balance because
it is.
You can't just do nothing.
Right.
You can't just sit there and pray, I need a job.
Right.
And actively, you're not even doing your resume. Mm-hmm. You're not putting feelers out. You're not even having a conversation. You're just playing Xbox all day.
Yeah.
And I think where we have to find the line is, but where am I depending on myself?
Yeah.
That's I think, the key. Some still don't know where that is, you know, situation by situation.
Right.
But I think that's the key is, where am I truly depending on my talents
yeah.
and my things to care for myself?
And to answer that question that you posed, it's like, well, maybe it's a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's going to depend, I'm sure it depends person by person, but by situation mainly.
I was thinking that, I'm sorry, I didn't pose that correctly. No, uh-huh. Exactly what you're saying. The last thing that you just said, uh-huh. Not person by person, which yes, everybody is different and they might struggle in an area where you might not,
right.
And you might struggle yeah. in an area where they might not.
Totally.
So that's why we should never be getting cues from other people per se.
Yeah.
unless the Holy Spirit is directing it. But no, I'm talking about case by case in your own personal walk with God. You are always in process to get stronger in character, growing in Him and who He is.
Sure. Yeah.
He does not expect you right off the bat as a brand spanking new Christian, or even a Christian who's been that way for years, to have it all figured out.
Right.
He does. Mm-hmm. And we're never going to have it all figured out. But through Him, we can find perfection. Through Him. And I think this is what was so helpful. So last Sunday, they're wrapping up a series at church about 1 Corinthians 13. And as we shared before, I think it was last week's podcast, we were talking about, this is a very well-known passage. And how do we make this passage not just something cute, fluffy, and embroidered capable? Mm-hmm. how do we make it personal? And I think always finding ways for God's word to apply to your life is the point. Because I think that's what the apostles would tell us. We wrote all these things down. Luke was one who took, you know, accounts from the apostles, and he wrote these things down so that people would have a fuller defining document as to what it looks like to walk out life as a Christian. He wants us to seek Him in His word. How do I apply things in the Old Testament to this? I mean, just even letting that land rest and realizing this isn't about rules. It's about understanding you're my children. You can trust me, mm-hmm. and rest in that. And one day we will have this, you know, eternal rest, which honestly, it may, all my life, I feel like it sounds so boring. Eternal rest, so we're just laying around or
playing a harp
on a cloud. It is going to be so beyond anything we could possibly imagine, and it will be everything we could ever want it to be and more, because nothing is fully satisfied unless it's found in Christ. Mm-hmm. And apart from that, it's just empty. It's smoke and mirrors. It's an illusion. So they took the passage, and I've seen this done a zillion times, but never quite this way, where you substitute the name of the word love for Jesus.
Okay.
So love is patient, love is kind. So Jesus is patient, Jesus is kind, He is all these things. They said, we're going to do this differently now. We're going to have you put your name next to Jesus. So now it reads, Christ in Rochelle is patient. Mm. Christ in Rochelle is kind. And the part that really just, I mean, it broke me as I was saying it out loud was, this part of me that I have discovered is easily angered, easily triggered. And it hurts to know that the people I love the most have been impacted by that. People like you, my family, that it has visibly been seen how quick to be angry I am. And so to read that Christ in me is not easily angered. And whatever the opposite of love, it was so, anger is not an investment of love. It works against what love is about. Mm. And the Jesus in me, Rochelle, maybe you're dealing with this stuff, but Jesus is in you. Remember that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I already knew that, but I needed to say it out loud. I needed to make it personal. And it was so, it really has been a blessing to my life this week. It's been a week, you know? So let's see how next week goes. Maybe I'll be quick, but you know what? I wrote this down so that if next week I start to find those same things that have triggered, oh, I'm picking stuff up again. Mm-hmm. I'm taking this on my own strength again, which is now provoking me to be impatient, which is provoking this angry place that I have found myself living. And then maybe even it comes from, like I said before, a place that is well-intentioned, but it's not been grown in the soil of Christ. So it's growing up ugly and not pure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've been learning.
You said that it's been a week this week? You've had a crazy week?
Like last week, I would say that I had been in a position of like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. There was even a moment, and I can share this openly, you know, my husband is a nurse, and he's one of those people that says, hey, look, I have been in the room when loved ones have passed, and families are standing around the bed and conversations had not taken place before that loved one had passed. So now we don't know what happens to grandma now that grandpa's gone. You know, those kinds of conversations.
Oh, right.
So yeah. He's encouraged us as a family. We need to have these conversations because, well, our parents are getting older and we've always seen our home as a place where you are welcome here and we want you. Like, you're not going to be on your own. We want you to come and stay with us. And I think my mom, she very lovingly said, honey, I see how you and your father, you're so much alike and you'll butt heads and you trigger one another. I don't know how that's going to be a possibility if God takes me first. And that landed really like just bluntly, like there's a matzo ball right in front of you, you know, and like, so how am I going to handle that? And it's been a series of really amazing God appointments that have kind of led me to a place of not hopelessness about that anymore. Like I am in a state of hope right now that this is something that through the Holy Spirit, because he gives us gifts, including his word, but like patience is one of those gifts. It's for the taking. Mm-hmm. It belongs to me because I'm a Christ kid. You know, that doesn't have to be, well, she just said those words and now it's a forever statement and there's not a chance he's going to come live in my home.
Sure.
Yeah. No, I mean, the door is always open to growing in God, and the enemy wants me to make that a forever statement, the ugly thing to, you know, stay that way. Yeah. No, if I'm a Christian and I'm in process, I can grow in this.
Well, I'm asking because you found this last weekend?
Yeah, on Sunday.
And, but you said it's been a crazy week this week?
I mean, we've had some stuff pop in. But it's not.
Crazy. I've seen a difference this week.
You've seen a difference this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think you've been very, I don't know if even relaxed is the word, but I think that, I mean, that's obviously made a huge different impression.
I think, yeah, just making choices this week has really helped.
Yeah.
And it's changing my perspective.
That's good for all of us. That's good. I mean, because there's something on that list for each one of us.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. Like,
ooh.
Is it?
That one's me.
Self-seeking. Well, I mean, they kind of all weave together, don't they?
Well, sure.
You may not have a huge struggle in that area, but then it is kind of crazy how God goes, well, a little touch of that little dose of pride and a little dose of this together form the other problem that you're having.
Sure. You know? Yeah. Well, and I think once we're, you know, like, I don't struggle with, I'll say I don't struggle with like greed, for example, as much as maybe other things on the seven deadly sins or, you know, whatever.
Right, right.
But if I'm, you know, put in a situation, I think a lot of people are like that. If, hey, here's a, you know, $20,000, just don't ask where it came from. Like, then you're just kind of like, well, maybe I do struggle with greed. I, you know, that sounds like a nice deal. Wait, where did this come from?
I think unless the temptation is like, I mean, that one's blatantly waving in front of your face.
Right. But if you think nobody knows, are you tempted to take it?
And yeah. I think it's the enemy's MO. Like once you go through a trial and maybe you come on the other side kind of swinging, like, you know, I think, Lord, with your help, I really overcame that thing.
Yeah.
And then I can allow pride somewhat to sink in. Oh,
sure.
In,
sure. No, that can happen too.
And he'll kind of sneak in this way.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of sneaking in, we were talking about questions and doubts.
Yeah.
And things that, well, we were actually having some fun. It is a true, and it can be hurtful, but it's kind of comical when you just kind of think about it generally. When you don't talk to somebody for a while, just because of life, and then you think that they hate you, just because it's been a month or two since you've talked to them. And then all of a sudden, if it has been even more while than that, then it's like, wait, were we even ever actually friends? You know what? I don't think I ever actually liked them. To be honest with you, there was something about them that I...
I'm really glad you brought it up because I think all of us have that. But I don't think until today when you brought it up, have I ever gone, oh my word, yes, I do that.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know that I thought anybody else might do that.
Right. Well, no, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm glad that you said that you do so that, you know, all right, it's just bringing it to your attention so that I can be aware of it.
Yeah. Just be, and it's good for personal relationships. Well, it is. Yeah,
you could be unawares as you're doing it.
Just because you haven't spoken with somebody doesn't mean that they don't like you or you don't like them or whatever friendship was actually there really was there.
Yeah, but believe it or not, the center of their universe is not you.
Yes. Crazy enough, right? But I bring this up because this is what we can do with God. We can start believing false things about God mm-hmm. when we haven't spent time with him. Or spent time in scripture.
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing there, right? And I start to, with whatever hard question I might have, I start to go, well, maybe there's not an answer here. And you start suppressing some of these doubts and questions that you have rather than embrace and ask and dig deep. It may be a hard answer at first, but then it's like, okay, now I understand that that's true. So that's why this makes sense. And then you kind of almost climb up the next plateau a little bit mm-hmm. and you're more, you're a little more, callous is a bad word because it's usually meant for anger, but you got a little, your hands are a little grittier, you know, you're a little stronger, right? And you have more evidence or more experience in your faith rather than when we suppress these questions and doubts, then all of a sudden that must just be reality. Mm-hmm. And I know that you have a friend and you yourself had a question back in the day where the church doesn't always do a great job of answering these hard questions.
Well, and it makes me wonder what I have perhaps done in my lifetime.
Well, sure. Sure.
Have I done this to somebody in some way? But I remember there was a very intelligent young lady. It was my friend in college. And we had some pretty tough faith-based conversations. And it came out in one of them that she went to church as a child. Her mother still is in church and is just crazy about her going, you know? And she said, I was in Sunday school one day and I got kicked out because I asked a question. I don't know if it was she didn't really have a plausible reason as to why the lady kicked her out. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I have a pretty good indicator as to why she got kicked out. She probably asked a question that was either uncomfortable for the teacher, or this teacher thought she was being passive aggressive and she decided to take matters into her own hands. And I would really steer from that path, by the way, if you're a teacher, because how many layers has that young woman gone through of callous dismissal mm-hmm. to get her to a place if she is acting passive aggressively, which, you know, Jess is my friend's name. You know, she never said she was, but maybe she came across as a little smart alecky, you know, mm-hmm. in that situation. And I understand the temptation, especially as a person who has been in front of a Sunday school class, to want to get that kid in the hallway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
But it is a good reminder for me again to try to, as Jesus did with every individual that came to him, to go deeper.
Yes.
You know?
Well, and I'm reading this book that I want to read just a quick excerpt from. But it's Deconstructing, or the Deconstructing of Christianity is by Tim Barnett and Elisa Childers. And it's talking about how a lot of people are leaving faith. And this is a key part for current believers too. And
may I interject, Carter did this interview with Tim Barnett.
Yes.
That lives on this page. So you can find it.
You can, you go to the KSBJ YouTube channel. Yeah. Go to the KSBJ YouTube channel. You'll find it there. Yeah. With Tim Barnett. And that's about how to handle talking to skeptics. They point out that there's two ways of asking a question. There are ways of asking questions in a genuine manner. You're really seeking an answer. No matter how hard or crazy the question is, there's a genuineness in wanting an answer. Mm-hmm. And then there are people that are questioning openly, making questions of, well, if God says he's this, then how can he do this? And mm-hmm. and they're not earnestly seeking an answer.
Okay.
And it's important to know the difference. But I think with what you just said kind of sparked something. We should if there's a kid even asking a sarcastic question,
yeah,
it's a great opportunity to answer it as best we can for the kids in there that might really be seeking an answer. Mm-hmm. So even if like some kid in fourth grade asked the bathroom habits of Jesus, mm. it's a goofy, probably sarcastic, he's trying to be the class clown, Well, what if we then turn that into an answer where Jesus really did become a man?
Well,
and
yeah.
And God became man and then struggled with sin and temptation. And why can't we answer it as That's earnestly so as possible, no matter what the intent of the question was? And I think where, like you said about the teacher for your friend, first of all, God bless churches because volunteers are needed. Unfortunately, volunteers aren't always have the best answers.
And they're tired. They're human beings.
Yeah. I had a fifth grade Sunday school teacher mm-hmm. and I just told the story to somebody and they said, I think he got that from Dante's Inferno. Mm. Because I have no idea where he got this otherwise. He told us as fifth graders that if you aren't a Christian and you're judged by God, you fall for 7 days.
Okay.
A free fall for 7 days before, and that little orange dot gets brighter and bigger and then you fall into hell.
Yeah.
That is not biblical at all.
No.
And he was telling us this. And so, of course, if a question is asked of this individual or your friend's teacher, there might be an intimidation factor.
Sure.
Or thinking they're being sarcastic. And we have to do a good job of being able to answer as best we can. And I don't know is a perfect answer too.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Let me look it up. If you come here next Sunday, I promise you, I'm going to have more information regarding what you just asked. And I think you gave a great illustration of how that you're like, you read about a gentle answer turns away wrath.
Sure. Sure.
How can I apply that statement to what's happening right now?
Yeah.
I think that's a great way of giving a gentle answer. What are the bathroom habits of Jesus? Going into the historical context of what it would have been like.
That's true too.
Let's find out.
Right.
I know. And you know what? That puts that fire that he's trying to put on in this.
Yeah.
You know,
if he's trying to embarrass you as a teacher, then just answer it.
Put water on that fire. But in the same way, it doesn't even necessarily humiliate the child at all.
Right. Right.
It's like, look, I also remember I was a bit of a class clown and sometimes I would ask stupid yep. questions.
Well, and there are questions that, you know, there are essentials in Christianity, right? So somebody might have, maybe it seems like they're rocking the boat. They're questioning the authority when they say something like, how can the Trinity even be a thing? Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem possible. I think a lot of people, because I think the Trinity is essential to the Christian faith. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people might get intimidated by that. One is because nobody really quite can grasp it fully. But two is, just answer it. Mm-hmm. We don't have to, I guess it's like, why do I feel that I'm the final ambassador, right? Mm-hmm. When your kids question, when you told to do something or somebody at work, if you're a supervisor questions your decision, then you feel like they're disrespecting your authority. I'm just the messenger here.
Yeah.
I don't need to have any sort of emotional attachment to, I mean, I certainly believe it. And if certainly somebody starts saying insulting things, I'm probably going to feel it, but I don't have to, I'm not the one that made the world. I'm not the one that made this. It's just the best evidence for what's true. I believe it. And I extend that invitation to you too.
And that's an invitation.
Yes.
It's not a dismissal.
Right.
I think that's fantastic. And I think regarding, you know, something as complex, mm-hmm. even trying to talk about the Trinity, trying to talk about things that are unfathomable to our minds.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, when I decided and when you decided to marry Kelsey and I decided to marry Sammy, you know, there are overwhelming things about this relationship that indicate to me, I want to spend the rest of my life with this person, mm-hmm. you know, and there are things we're going to have to work out along the way.
Sure.
And some things we may have to just agree to disagree on. So I'm using that kind of as a murky example of like, there are going to be areas about our God that we know we are in agreement. Lord, you are God. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you created this world.
Right.
Yeah. But you did it. The Bible says in 6 days, how that all lands with your timeline. Wow.
Right.
Look at what you did, you know, and like affirming what you know.
Sure. Sure.
And I think as if we lived more like that, affirming what we know and even giving others who may have started with like a passive aggressive intent, a malice intent, they might even by the end of that conversation be willing to open up to what you're sharing. And it's not even like there's a wall here between us, but like for you to even brighten up with your disposition instead of saying, no, what you want to say is an idiot. You're an idiot. No, look, I get that this is complex and there are areas here that I'm still figuring out. Can I be real with you and tell you what I know for sure? And then there are things I think God is still processing out with me. And that's kind of, if we started living from that place, I think it would be a faith that people realize this is a global faith. This isn't about boxes anymore and cultures and you stay over in your side and I'll be comfortable there with me being over here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even denominationally, we kind of get into trouble with this stuff. Too. So
it's important. I think it's twofold. It's important to be able to handle hard questions.
Absolutely.
And if you have any and doubts, it's important to ask them.
And I'm so glad you said that. Absolutely.
Because that's what we're talking about. If you just leave this and then you never find a good answer, then you think, I heard a surgeon the other day.
That's a good relationship, is it?
Right.
If I didn't talk about it with Sammy.
Yeah, no, that's true. Right.
If you didn't talk about it with Kelsey, this would be a problem.
I heard a surgeon the other day talking about, she wasn't a Christian yet, but when a child died in her arms or on the operating table, and then I didn't quite catch the whole story, but the nurses were praying afterwards and she went and she decided to be a part of it. Mm. And then somebody couldn't answer the question of why do bad things happen?
Yeah.
And she just walked away. She said, well, there's no answer. So there's no God. And that's where she eventually, a journey later, she's now a Christian, which is awesome.
Oh, wow.
But that's where I think it can go.
Sure.
If you leave questions unanswered. So this is from the book of The Deconstruction of Christianity, Tim Barnett and Elisa Childers.
Okay.
And we've had Elisa on this podcast.
Yeah.
So you can find an old episode of her. But this is where they quote Barna CEO David Kinnaman. Barna is all the research, the polls, what percentage of Americans are going to church? What percentage of Americans actually believe that Jesus is God? Like that kind of thing. That's Barna's always referenced. And this is from his book. I believe unexpressed doubt is one of the most powerful destroyers of faith. Mm-hmm. And they go on to say this conclusion finds support from a 3-year longitudinal study launched by the Fuller Youth Institute. And the findings are this. According to our study, over 70% of church-going high schoolers report having serious doubts about faith. That's 70% of church-going high schoolers. Sadly, less than half of those young people shared their doubts and struggles with an adult or friend. Mm-hmm. Yet these students' opportunities to express and explore their doubts were actually correlated with greater faith maturity. In other words, it's not doubt that's toxic to faith. It's silence. Mm-hmm. Strictly speaking, doubts and questions are not the problem. In fact, when honest doubts are carefully explored, this can lead to a strong faith formation. However, when doubts are carelessly ignored or suppressed, this can lead to faith deconstruction. Sadly, this is what the online world is witnessing in the deconstruction movement.
I know very little about C.S. Lewis, but I do know that he struggled with the Christian faith. He grew up in the church, mm-hmm. but when other people in the classroom might have brought to the attention of the teacher or other adults, for that matter, questions regarding other people's faiths, well, it was just disregarded and again, dismissed. And he's like, how could Christianity be real? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
To think that all of these intelligent people that I've met who are of a different faith would be committed in their faith to their belief system.
Mm-hmm.
That very much bothered him. And instead of assisting young C.S. Lewis, the questions regarding these types of things were dismissed. When we bring up our questions, when we talk about this kind of stuff, I mean, this is now a forum of let us discuss the wonder of who God is. And we should be excited about it and not scared to talk about it. Just because we don't have an answer, do not let fear dictate why you will or will not speak.
Yeah.
Because fear, unless it's a healthy respect for something, it doesn't feel like it's an employee of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If perfect love casts it out.
Sure.
And so I don't have to be afraid when my child asks a difficult question. I may not know the answers Carter shared. I think an I don't know response is a start, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know. And I don't, in fact, I probably should be more obliged to say the I don't knows as opposed to immediately feeling like I have to fill space.
Instead of saying, well, it just is. And then having a stern look on your face.
Or even going around the barn trying to find the answer until you feel like you finally nailed it.
Right.
Ooh, I finally got home somewhere. But yeah. let me give it a bit of thought. I want to come back to you.
Yeah.
And now I can have a succinct answer. Hopefully I've thought about it enough to where maybe I even have like, I don't know. I don't necessarily need visual aids, but like I have
a PowerPoint,
a good explanation, maybe yeah. even like, you know, we always try to connect with people on the radio show from a perspective that's relatable. How can I make the answer to this question relate to you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why is Christ relevant to you? Mm. You know, you read about the 6 years of harvesting, the seventh year is resting, and farmers, they know exactly what that looked like. So many references to farming in the New Testament, because a lot of people had their own little plot of land, from my understanding. Mm. So in the Jewish community, when they talk about, you know, a farmer went out to sow some seed, it was like, yeah, we get it, because we had to have our own garden too, or whatever.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
you know, in today's society, I am not familiar at all with farming. I go to the rodeo where they have a lot of agriculture stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
It's always intriguing to me. But how can I make what God's word is saying relevant? And that's exactly what happened in my journey just a few days ago, and going, this is how it relates to me. Mm. So if I can work on making my answers, and it's hard because in certain forums, like a social media platform, you may not have the ability to give it the kind of care and attention, because you may only have that person for half a second and then they're already gone.
Sure.
So yeah. I think a lot of our answers are motivated by, oh, it has to be like, I need to get back to this person now because my response actually could impact their eternity. Mm-hmm. Again, we're putting that weight upon ourselves when God, if we truly believe what we read in his word, he's active and he's in control.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is good. And I think too, just to put the invitation out there, if you have any questions,
yeah.
you can certainly comment on this video, and maybe we'll get to it next week. Maybe next week our answer will be, I don't know. But at the very least, we'd love to consider
we'll
those questions
too.
Yes, we will, of course. This is the Anything But Quiet Time podcast, and hope to see you next week.